Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about the focus you've chosen. As you go about your day, keep your focus in awareness. Notice and jot down what the voices say. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi, it's Anna from Home First in England.
Well, hello. What are you
hello.
Seeing?
Hello. Hi. I'm seeing lots and lots of things as usual. One thing that I've noticed is that over the last few sessions, session three and session four and this session, everything is just following on. So the focus that I had was coming to something that just feeds into the next focus. I'm seeing lots and lots. One of the things that I liked about the write-up, and particularly I focused on the very last bit where it says about how the best gift we can give to the world is an experiential knowledge that there is nothing wrong, and yes, exploring how something wrong and not enough is maintained around the process of giving. And I realized that that was underneath all the things that came to mind. So for example, there's something wrong with me, with this human. So I have to give my life over to ego.
Yeah. There's something wrong with what life has manifested. So we need to turn ourselves over to this absolute fraud, this fiction, in order to be all right. It's just nuts when we see it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But until we see it, I mean, the whole world is operating that way.
Well, yeah, I feel like I think it's probably because of lockdown, but I've just never seen so much in all my life, honestly. I feel like it's like turned a corner, but I've turned around the corner, and where I was one view, and now there's this completely incredible, I don't know, it's like when you get off the aeroplane, you're in a completely different climate, and I've never ever
seen it
before. It's a different world. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm just having the best time because I'm seeing that it's everything. I know that we have to look at the specifics because that's how we see what's happening, so that then we can drop that. But I'm also seeing how it is all, I can't find the words for it, but it is all just one thing as well.
Well, that is so important. Yes. So let's take a second with that, okay? Because there's how it works for everybody, which is exactly the same, which is what you laid out. Life unfolds, and then this illusion of separation from life comes in to say, now that's a mistake. I need to, and we go, all right, and away we go. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
But the specifics, how that shows up for you, for me, that can be quite different, which is how we get confused, right? We lose sight of the fact that this is a universal process, because you get upset when and I get upset over blah, blah. And so clearly, we don't have, it's not the same thing, but it is. It's exactly the same. The content changes, the process is exactly the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes. I'm going to enjoy working with the something wrong and not enough, and how that, Just love it.
because again, I can't let this go, okay? Because yeah. again, doing all the work that you've done, you've realized it all comes down to that.
Yes, yeah.
That's the constant. That's the constant, always. So the voices are talking about whatever, and I'm seeing whatever, and I'm believing whatever when I'm identified with ego. But it all comes down to the same. Every voice in the head is trying to prove that there's something wrong and there's something missing.
Yeah, that is, I found that, I've really, that was around the corner as well. I'd always got it on the one level, but something's wrong. I've just got that over and over again. And just one last thing to say, what I have found really helpful is doing the two-handed recording more frequently. So I've done the two-handed recording for a minimum of 3 times a day, so sometimes more. So that's sort of roughly morning, the middle of the day, and night time for about, since not quite at lockdown, a little bit after that, but for weeks and weeks, more than I've ever done. And it just, just the insights, they just come tumbling out again. So sometimes I've got, like, you know, 30 recordings, just only little ones, because they're just minutes. They're like minute insights.
Yeah. Oh, and I saw that. And that.
Yeah,
and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it, yeah. So, yeah, so thank you. Thank you to everybody.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Gosh, go
thank
happy.
You. Go happy. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ashwini, are you talking?
Of course I am, and I'm double muted. I'm sorry.
That's
I was just saying... That one insight is just so beautifully stated. There's something wrong with me, and so I have to give my life to ego. You know?
Yes.
Wow.
It's madness.
It's madness, exactly. And I just love that how focusing on the specific highlights the universal and makes it not personal. The contradiction in those words in that one statement is quite, it's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, as Anna was just saying, we see that. It's a classic. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And then all of a sudden, one day you walk around a corner and go, whoa, I know that. And, you know, then we start looking for corners to go around because what else is possible?
Yeah, and we want to clean up all the rooms, the image that we were using, right? All the rooms that's ours to clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judy from California.
Hello, Judy.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, what conditioning tells me is that this whole giving business is a zero-sum game. And if I have something and I give it away, I might need it later. And so there's all this worry and stress and fretting about it.
Because there isn't enough.
That's right. That's exactly what you said. There isn't enough. And lo and behold, that you should have something that I had and gave to you. That's just not right.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God. And, of course, I bet you've noticed that the genesis of that is believing that stuff belongs to us.
Of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
That it belongs to us, that it's mine, that I can hold on to it and take care of it. And that,
Or ignore it.
Or
ignore it. Because I don't actually need it right now.
Right. But I might need it sometime. Yeah, I might need it sometime.
Yeah.
And so I can't give it away and be generous, heaven forbid. And, you know, it just... And then conditioning beats me up for being so stingy. You know, so it's both ways.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. That is the world of duality. Right?
Yes.
We can't have one without the other.
It's just nasty business.
And so, it is nasty business, and it sounds like, of course, you live more of life in the loss, lack, and deprivation aspect of it, than in the self-hating. Because if you were being beaten up for being selfish all day long, every day, then you would say, I don't want any of this stuff. I just want to get rid of all of it so that the beatings will stop, because that's how we are conditioned to think, right?
But
in fact, it keeps you more in the loss, lack, and deprivation, the not enough, and then judiciously hits you with a little self-hate message.
Right, right. And even little things. You know, I went to the grocery this morning, and there's plenty of food there, but there wasn't, there weren't quite as many canned tomatoes as I like. And what's happening now? We're never going to eat again. There's never going to be enough food because of this virus. It just extrapolates and makes everything horrible, too, at the same time.
Yes.
There's a word
because
for that.
You're not going to suffer. You're not going to suffer if there's plenty.
Right. Catastrophizes.
That would work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, catastrophizes. Mm-hmm.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Because, Judy, that's so important. Because there's nothing wrong in the moment.
Yes.
So it has to go out into an imaginary future.
Uh-huh.
Going to suffer.
Right.
So the same way, you don't need it right now. Yeah, but you might. Out there, so it has to take you out into this imaginary future where there's deprivation. You will suffer out there in the future. And what it takes us a long time to see is, yeah, but it's making me suffer now.
Uh-huh.
If I weren't in that conversation, I wouldn't be suffering now. So in that way that it, the past and the future, it can get us to suffer all the time. Whereas, if we were present, we might suffer, but it would be infrequently.
Oh, that's because I hadn't seen that aspect. Oh, thank you. All right. Here I am.
There she
laughing
goes.
Laughing my way home, Sherry. I'm laughing my way home.
All right. Very good.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Judy. Go happy.
Bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Judy. That's such a wonderful, I think we have to start generating peace quotes from these conversations, right, Sherry? Because that's so insightful. It always uses the past or the future in order to cause suffering now. That's what we miss, because we're focused on, the suffering will happen in the future. And I miss that.
And we fail to see that. Fail to see that it's making me suffer right now over something that doesn't exist. And very likely never will exist. People suffer an entire lifetime. And this is Mark Twain, right? Yeah. Over stuff that never does happen.
Yeah. Well, and the manipulation is what we see as universal, right? Because the only reason I can go to the future as a potential of suffering is because there's a comparison to the past, when the total number of tomato cans I like is X.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, I just be with the number that there is here now, right?
That's right. That's right. But that's a great point. And ego has one of those in its pocket all the time. Whatever the situation is, it knows what the standard is.
Yeah.
And it's not this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Laura in San Diego.
Hello, Laura. What are you seeing?
I was just seeing how, at the beginning of the call, I was totally in conditioned mind noodling over making sure I had the right response to the question, of what are we looking at? And then as I was just in the call, when Ashwini was just done with that, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm here. It was just this really fun experience of, noticing that practicing bringing the attention to the call assisted me in getting out of that conversation.
Yes. And there's always something here to attend to, isn't there?
If I choose it, yes.
That's right.
Always right.
Yeah.
And then I have to choose it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't even expecting that. It just happened right when I heard the unmuted. It was like, oh my gosh, I've been here for this last part of this call, and I wasn't here in the beginning.
Uh-huh. And that's one of those little, I think Sister Phil would say in Catholicism, that's a little mini consolation. Right? Mm. You got to see a really important, you got to have a really essential insight right there to see how that always works that way.
Yes, yes. And so what I've been watching with this, recorded the, when I saw day one in the email, and often what happens is I'll go to, I'll get to that, right? I'll open that later today.
I'll have time later.
And, I can't even tell you the amount of times that never happens. So I don't feel like I consciously chose to do it, but I just found myself opening the email. And then the next portion of distraction was, great, read it now, and then I'll record it later. And I just decided this because I find myself sometimes is I'll get not lost in the reading, but when I'm reading things, it'll blow my mind, and I'll get identified and go off. So I just chose to read it for the first time while I recorded it, and I just read it out loud. And then when I listened, it was just a totally different experience to just do the thing in the moment. But I didn't feel like I was present choosing it. It was, I don't know. I feel like there aren't words to really talk about my experience.
There aren't. There actually aren't, but I'm going to attempt it anyway.
Okay.
So you know the saying that Gary Zukav, when 10% of us makes a decision, 90% of the universe gets behind it. And that's the experience that you're having. You're practicing, right? And the assumption, which ego is really eager for us to assume, is that it's always going to be up to you. You are basically unqualified. And so even though you really try hard, you're never actually going to make it. Is that a pretty good summation of, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you'll make progress, but you're not really going to. Okay, and the experience that you're having is the Gary Zukav experience, right? Because as we practice, That which we're seeking is causing us to seek. Okay? Another way of saying that, and I think this is Schwinney's twist on it, is that which we're seeking is seeking us.
Yes.
So in the same way that you're being reminded, you know, your insights drop in, right? Mm. Well, where are they dropping in from? Right? And what's dropping those in is pulling you in as you are doing the work of turning the attention inward. So that's where I talk about it as a tractor beam. And at a certain point, you realize the tractor beam has you. Okay? Mm. You're actually being pulled along.
Hmm. You know, Sherry,
and
at
that point, just one little, at that point, we can let go of that whole, it's up to me. Hmm. Go ahead.
I just really appreciate all of that because I've been talking about this experience of almost, how it was getting talked about, right, because I was trying to figure it out, was that there's this place where it almost feels like I'm numb and it does feel like I'm being pulled, mm-hmm. but it also felt like there was, you know, a strong identification there. But in this instance, maybe it's because I'm so quickly talking about it, right, because it just happened, you know, yesterday mm-hmm. or whenever it happened. But it's just, I want to listen back to this recording because ego is still so quickly there right after offers the information that I think it's been really hard for me to distinguish the difference. But in this case, the awareness felt bigger, or felt, I felt in touch with the awareness enough to see it or feel it.
That's exactly right. That is exactly it. All of that. And what you describe, the way ego usually does it, is how it keeps you in that bamboozle. Well, yeah, because it's your friend, right? Well, yeah, later. There's time this afternoon. You have time for that. Yeah. Well, why don't you just read it now, and then you can read. Yeah. And what you're seeing is, no, that voice is not your friend. That's the voice of the devil, right? And so what you're responding to is that say yes to life that we're always on about. That's what you're doing. It drops in. Open it now. You open it. Read it now. Turn on the recorder and read it now. You turn on the recorder and read it now.
Yeah.
All right.
So, thank you.
Now you know what you're looking for. Now you know.
Yeah.
Because you're very clear about the difference in those two experiences. Now, will it trip you up? Absolutely. But you're going to see how it tripped you up every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Grateful. Yes. Yes.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Very, very. Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Go happy.
Thanks, happy. Laura. I saw two things there, Sherry. The first one in the framework of giving is where you want to give your attention.
Yes.
Right?
Ooh, yes, yes.
And the second thing is we always say this, that awareness does not need someone to be aware. And it doesn't feel like I am involved in something like Laura was describing because there is no someone there. That is our experience.
Right.
There is no I that's doing anything because we're not using the process of ego in order. The process of ego is not operating there, absence feels like the absence of me.
Yes, which it is.
Which it is.
That's where we say we can trust our feelings.
Yes, well, and
it feels that way because it's true.
Right, and that also points to the pernicious and persistent identification of ourselves with the ego rather than that intelligence that is talking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't identify with that, right?
That's right. Yeah. But if we want to bring it back to our theme for this session, that is a wonderful way to, in quotes, give to life.
Yes.
Exactly what you said. Give attention to that which is animating us.
Mm-hmm.
Give attention to that which gives us everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what Anna was talking about. Instead of giving over our lives to ego, we give our life to life, give life back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, which is what I was pointing out with Judy, that illusion that some of this is mine. Our lives aren't even ours, let alone any of the stuff in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
So this is Jeff from Ohio.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
I was seeing, and Ashwini just alluded to it. As I was going through it, I realized that ego, never gives anything to anybody. You know, there's a sense of deprivation.
Yeah.
And for the I, give, you know, joyfully giving is an oxymoron. That the word that goes with give, me, is suffering. And, you know, and I was writing down then all the stuff, you know, that, anyway, I mean, I realized that when I am, that I have often been in a place of generosity where, I'm not there. But
that's right.
You know, like I was thinking about that saying that, you know, everything is given and there is no giver, you know, to paraphrase.
Exactly so. Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And,
which is it's wonderful to see, isn't it? Because as was just talked about, it's very difficult for us to see what is ego and what is authenticity. But an experience like that makes it very clear. As you realize, well, ego never gives anything. So if there's an experience of generosity, that's what it feels like when ego's not there.
Yeah, yeah. And consciously I was thinking, oh, I haven't given anything to anybody. And, you know, just for this exercise, I tried to, you know, try to think in the past. Maybe I have. And, you know, like I said, there's lots of stuff which has been given. But
that's right.
You know, but yeah. Clearly I didn't experience that ego, you know, giving place that it was me at all.
Right.
It, you know, me in the ego sense.
Right. And right. It's that I'm going to give this, and it's got a big old hook on it, right?
Because
I don't want to give this, but I'm going to give it to you, okay? It's just painful to see, isn't it? And very helpful to see ego's role in this.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, that was the part I got to look at, because like I said, if somebody asked me to give, it's like, it's always you should give, and then I just reject it and walk away. That's my response. But the other part is, you know, somebody comes to me and they, you know, they need something. It's like, okay, here, you know, let's just do this. And then I walk away. I forget about it. It doesn't, you know, it's just not part of the ego.
And I would guess, Jeff, that going through those, You could see exactly when ego was there and when you were present. Because I would imagine if ego is there, there is not a need that somebody has that is great enough to unhook ego from something that it's got, that it's clinging to, right? Whereas if you're centered, then you can see, well, everybody needs something, for God's sake. You know, what how can I help?
It's a
completely different world.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. And I would add right there, right, Cherry, that when I'm centered, there's a way in which to know whether I'm the door through which life wants to give.
Yeah. Can you say another sentence or two about that?
Because a lot of the complexity in giving is if I'm asked, I have to give. That's also, that can also be in a place of egocentricity, right? That it's up to me to fulfill this request. And I'm not present enough to know whether the revolving door is just, you know, is an outward movement through me, you know, in that instance. That's where a lot of the suffering also happens for a lot of us, right?
Well, yes, because I'm in a conversation in my head rather than being available for the insight.
That's right.
Which I think is what you're pointing at, right?
Yeah, and which is what makes it tricky, because that's where giving gets completely taken over as to being a selfish, a selfless, within quotes, act, that we're being selfish around if we don't follow the impulse to be generous all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and generous gets turned into, the definition of that generosity is suffering.
Yes, exactly how right. Jeff pointed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we have only 2 minutes, Sherry. Shall we take another caller or just look at our assignment?
Let's look at our assignment.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm always afraid we go over. Our assignment.
I know,
for
and then we drag people off into it. Yeah.
So our assignment for today, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment, review the statement from the voices that you jotted down, what beliefs and assumptions are revealed. A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices, I can't take this on. It's asking too much of me. Belief, my capacity to give is finite.
All right. Here we go.
Thank
you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And we'll see everybody on Monday. Yep.
Right. Oh, lots of time to work on this. All right. Very good.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Go happy.